Morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. We are here at the AI EDU Unlock podcast. Morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. We are here at the AI EDU Unlock podcast with me, Ashish Fernando, your host. And today we have with us Matt Lance, who's joining us from Rose Hulman Institute of Technology. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you, Ashish?
Doing great. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of our conversation today.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it.
Matt, before we get started, our listeners would love to understand not just what you're doing today at Rose Hulman and what your role is, but also the person behind Matt. That's the goal of today's conversation. And it's all about personal stories. You know, the goal of this podcast is to talk about the people behind the entire work that's happening in international enrollment and admissions. I know you do a lot of conversations and podcasts where it's all about RHIT and what's happening for the students and how are we serving them. We're going to talk about that, but also more about you yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy to kind of give a brief background, I guess, of what I've been doing, you know, in enrollment management. It's been my entire career at this point. So I've been working in higher education for technically it'll be 13 years this year. I've been doing it professionally. I also worked in higher education technically as a student at my alma mater. So I, you know, helped the admissions office there, did tours, things like that. And that's kind of what got me into this profession. You know, I've been at Rose Hulman for a little over 9 years. So the majority of my professional career has been here. But, you know, I've had a lot of different opportunities over that time period. I've been involved with different professional societies and things like that as well. So I really enjoy, you know, what I do, the entire enrollment management kind of field. Like, obviously, I enjoy working at Rose Hulman, but the idea of what higher education is and what it can do for students, I think, is why I continue, you know, in this area. One of the reasons on some level that I got, I guess, into this profession to begin with, I didn't have a lot of kind of connections or mentoring or counseling going into college. And so it was kind of just figuring it out on my own. And I know, you know, there's plenty of students that reach out to me now and want input about Rose specifically, but also sometimes just college, right? Like, what am I looking for? What should I be doing? That kind of stuff, because not everybody has the same opportunities to be involved with a counselor or to have parents that have, you know, been to college before or to a university or something like that. And so, like I said, I know that was kind of a long-winded background, but that's a little bit about me and my journey and kind of why I am where I am and that kind of stuff. So
that's amazing. No, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And also that background, I didn't actually realize that when I looked at your profile and background, I didn't realize you actually went back to your alma mater and worked there. And that's probably what inspired you a little bit for the role, you think? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
What part of the role is most exciting to you? Is it the travels, students? Would love to understand.
Yeah, it's the students, realistically. I mean, I think there are times in this profession where you get to meet with the students and or their parents, and you have an opportunity to see something kind of click with them, right? That's like, you know, the things that I'm talking about, or, you know, the things they're seeing on the website or whatever it might be, they're making a connection there, right? It's always great to see students visit campus and they, you know, get to see different labs and things like that, get to meet different students, and you can kind of just see them, the excitement and the opportunity kind of shows all over them, right? And then you can tell the students that it doesn't do that for. And so I think that's one of the nice things is to, like I mentioned, kind of be able to respond to how they are interacting. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing that I enjoy, the biggest kind of benefit of my job. I have really, yes, also really like the travel opportunities, right? So I'm fortunate at Rose Holman that it's not as extensive a travel set as it is at some other schools. And so I get the opportunity to still enjoy it. Sometimes in this profession, you can do it a lot to the point you kind of get burnt out on it. But we're in a fortunate position that I get to do it, a few weeks here and there, kind of on and off, and I can still enjoy all that different, those different experiences. And so I am definitely thankful for those opportunities. Like I said, doing the international recruitment that I've been doing for going on 3 years. I've had the opportunity to visit India a couple times. I've been to Vietnam, been to Korea. I'll be going to China here in a few weeks. And so, those kind of things are definitely opportunities I wouldn't have had outside the professional world. But like I said, it's just a different experience to be able to meet with the student, meet with their parents, and just see, that they're really kind of found a place that they're interested in, or even talking to them sometimes and you're describing different programs or majors and telling them, what those students do or what their classes are going to involve. And you can just kind of see them like light up, like that's what I want to do and that's what I want to be, and those kind of things. So that's always, the biggest thing that I enjoy and look forward to out of the role. Like I said, probably followed by the travel after that. So
Nice. Yeah. How many countries have you been to, roughly?
I think just five maybe so
Five.
far, five or six. So through the professional role, I've done a little bit of other personal travel. So I think I'm close to 10.
Throughout your journeys, is there any specific student that who comes to mind who's had like a very interesting path, and you came across this student and you were like, wow, this is I wouldn't have met such a person with such an interesting sort of life. Any particular story you'd like to share?
I think there's kind of multiple layers to that, right? There's students that have had experiences as a high school student that is kind of unimaginable to me. I guess after being in high school, 20 whatever years ago or something, like to see the opportunities they've had, from kind of a internship standpoint, or some of them that have gotten patents for things, and it's just like how are they doing? Like I was concerned with, getting to practice on time and stuff in high school or whatever it was, and these students are having these kind of experiences. And so I think, we have so many of those that have such cool backgrounds, students that have worked on cancer research before as a high school student, it may be as an internship, or students that are working with kind of an up and coming AI company, or some that are doing some really cool things with drones. So those kind of stories are always really cool to see. Part of it too, even right now, we're right in the middle of reviewing our regular decision applicants, and so this fortunately giving me a little bit of a break from reviewing those. But just seeing so many essays, right? So that's part of the issue, I guess, with me trying to come up with one or two specific things, is because over the last couple of weeks, I've seen so many essays about so many different students that it's kind of overwhelming to come up with one. And so, like I said, a lot of it's just the volume. I've met so many students and, seen so many applications over the years that it's always kind of hard to nail one or two specifically down. There are a lot of them that, the
And I
way
get
the
it. I
work,
mean, you're probably reading a new story every, what, 10 minutes with a new essay?
pretty much, yeah. So it's a lot. But like I said, there are just so many students from so many different walks of life, right, that have had so many different things impact them. Obviously, the last couple of years, there have been so many stories about the pandemic and how it's impacted not just their education, but their family, right? This past week, I actually was in the middle of going through all of our regular decision applicants from India specifically. And, you know, obviously you see things in the news, you know, about the pandemic and how it took its toll on so many stories of family members that passed away and things like that, right? You know, as they started high school or over the last couple of years, as they're in the middle of high school and losing loved ones and like those kind of things are just very, it's very interesting to see those, but then look at a student. So like a lot of times when I review, I will look at their extracurriculars, their essay, that kind of stuff first, and then I'll get to their transcripts, right? And so to see students have these kind of stories, and you're like, well, this transcript's going to be ugly, or you know what I mean? Like their grades are going to have to have slipped, and they're still exceptional. And I'm just like, how are they able to kind of, you know, deal with, compartmentalize these different things that are happening to them when they're 15, 16 years old and still be able to be successful academically? So, like I said, that's obviously there are quite a few examples of that because of the pandemic, but you know, they're still kind of inspiring every time. But when you're looking at applications from all over the world, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, earthquakes in China or flooding in Nepal, I think over the last year, Nepal and Bangladesh and that kind of stuff.
Landslides and flooding,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's just, it was a lot of stuff that these students are able to go through. And it's very, like I said, inspiring to be able to see them. And then the nice thing that I really do enjoy, kind of back to your question earlier about what, you know, with the profession that I like, and I talked about meeting the students, but reviewing applications, especially for international students that are not going to have an opportunity to visit campus. But then when they get here and I get a chance to kind of make those connections from seeing their name, whether it's been through you know, email contact, through reviewing their application, whatever it might be. Sometimes I get a Zoom with them, and then see them when they get on campus. You know, that's kind of like the culminating event, I guess. It's like we have a, you know, we have an international student orientation on campus, and being able to get to see them make that trip. And there are plenty of domestic students that aren't able to come visit campus either, but I think it's completely different for the international population, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just seeing campus or making it, you know, a decision based on that, but all of the cultural things that they're going to be going through and all those different things as well. Maybe it's the first time they've ever been to the US. And so,
And they probably consider you to be their best ally because they've been interacting with you, and you're the
right.
one who, helped get the admission decision through. Yeah, because I remember when I went to Bentley and I met Kristen Shockley, who's now she's now in admissions. She's leading admissions at Yale, but she used to be at Bentley. And the first time I met her, I already felt this like really deep connection because I've been interacting with her, and this was a big decision for me to come to the US and study. And this one person on whom I was relying for like information about admissions, like, hey, how are things going to be? What's going to happen? And just meeting them. So I completely echo your thoughts on meeting the student and feeling that. And yeah, COVID's been hard, right, for a lot of students. Through our journey with iSchool, it was unfortunate that we had so a really good friend of mine from I was working with this employer in India, and I met this guy who's like a like some vice president or some like really big role, and we became good friends. And like he calls me 6 years later and says, "Hey, my daughter wants to go abroad, and I wouldn't know any better person than you to guide her." So we she got very motivated individual, got into the public health program at Boston University, and just came here, and COVID was just getting started, came here, and my friend, her dad passed away because of COVID, and there was a lockdown, so she couldn't even travel back to his funeral. And so that's like a very personal story that's connecting business, personal relation, and everything I was doing. And it was like something I'll never forget. But yeah, there's been a lot of that. But luckily we're out of it. There's still some strains of COVID around, but.
But it's definitely not what it was. And so, I mean, there's always some part of me that's looking forward to the applicants for the next over the next several years because not everybody will be impacted by the same thing, right? It's just interesting how everyone was negatively impacted by one thing. A lot of times it's going to be different challenges, different personal things, but for these last several years, it's been one event, not event, but one particular thing that has impacted everyone. And so it kind of selfishly, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing what those other things are, right, that students are still overcoming and what their passions are and that kind of stuff after being able to remove themselves from kind of the negative effects of the pandemic. So
You in the sequence of how you make admission decisions and help RHIT, would you say the essay matters a lot, if not the most, for you?
realistically, for us, the essay is not the most important, to be honest. What we use the essay for is it gives us an opportunity to help get to know the student better. It gives us an opportunity to help maybe supplement some of their scholarship opportunities and things like that. So one of the things that I do like about working at Rose Holman as well is that we have the opportunity to utilize some of those extracurriculars, essay, things like that, for the way that I see they should be used, which is as supplemental information to some extent, right? This is giving us more non just data-driven information about the students. So as an institution for us, the academic ability of the student is the priority. Most of that comes from the fact that we only have 18 majors on campus. We are very, very specific. They are all STEM. They are all very challenging. And so, a lot of times at larger institutions or institutions that have a whole breadth of majors, even though they want academically talented students, they have opportunities for those students to get on campus and maybe not be as successful as they thought they would be, and then they can move into another program, right? And so they would still retain those students. For us, we don't have that luxury, right? We have to make sure that we are admitting the most academically qualified students because the only programs that we offer, being engineering, math, science-oriented things, they're all going to be challenging. And we don't have a way for students to maybe not be as prepared as we need them to be. And so that's why the academic portion is the priority for us. But we are very fortunate to be able to use the essay component, use the extracurriculars to give us a better view of the student, right? So those are the things that we use. If a student has struggled at some point academically or maybe isn't, as top tier on in some level as some of the other students, we can also use that information to say, hey, look how involved they are. They've still been able to balance all of these academic things that they've been involved with, or academic, courses along with their extracurriculars. Their essay is going to give us a way to kind of help look at, potentially their work ethic or things like that that are not in their transcript. Because for a lot of our students, that's the biggest thing that we are trying to find outside of just grades and exam scores and things like that is a student's desire and resiliency, right? We have students that come in that are not always, straight A's or whatever grading scale they're on. They're not always at the top, but they'll still be successful because they are able to really delve into what they're doing. They're very passionate about those programs, and they're able to make it through sometimes better than students who have gotten perfect scores throughout their entire educational background. And so that's where I think it's very beneficial for us to be able to use that additional information to help supplement, right? And so it's not where the decision is coming from entirely. It all goes into this kind of, everybody uses the term holistic view of the student. And I mean, that's really what we're using it for. You know, there are some institutions that are very, very selective that can pick apart essays to help find reasons that maybe a student shouldn't be admitted, right? And that idea to me is not always that. I don't think that's how it should work, right? The essay is the student trying to explain something about themselves or show you something about them that you're not seeing from just a purely transcript standpoint. And so the fact that that student is willing to put that information out there and be open with you, I think should be used to the student's benefit, whether it's grammatically perfect or not. You know, that information should be something that you're able to help supplement for the student and help benefit them and not use against them. And so that's kind of where we're at with, like I said, with the extracurriculars, with the essay. So that's kind of how our process works in terms of reviewing an applicant.
I always keep saying that money cannot be a barrier to education, and it's something that we've been trying hard at iSchool to solve for, right? We do some scholarships every year. We'll try and find places where students can fund their education, because there are also a lot of means and a lot of people who want to help deserving students. Just connecting them together and taking that barrier out is a big task in itself. And we've been trying our level best to do that. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I wouldn't be here if, Bentley wouldn't have given me a full ride. I had my Yale admit, and I still couldn't pay for it with scholarship. I mean, I would have been probably able to get a loan and all of that, but the anxiety for an international student of like taking a loan, studying, and then not being able to get a visa, go back to the country, and then have to pay the loan, it's just too stressful. The same for domestic as well. I mean, we're seeing so much happening at the center, protests and some loan forgiveness now happening, and like there's so much going on. But absolutely, I think that's one and probably the biggest barrier in the field. But Matt, when I was researching your profile, words that came to mind were cool-headed, collected, passionate, and I really see why you're cool-headed. I mean, you're one of the most cool-headed, collected people I've talked to. So thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Absolutely. I've been really happy to be on here. I'm glad you guys were able to give me the opportunity to get on. And it's nice to be able to talk about some kind of general things as well, right? So I get so kind of locked in, especially this time of year, about talking about, about Rose Holman and things like that, which I'm happy to do. But I think sometimes it's nice to be able to step out and talk about, the industry in general or the students in general, and not just hone in specifically on your institution or your profession. And so I've really appreciated the questions you've had and been able to kind of talk more broadly about that, give more of a general sense of higher education and what it means and the opportunities and things. So
Yeah, no, absolutely. And my goal with the podcast is to bring those stories out and connect. I mean, we're always connected. We meet at conferences and we travel together, but all we're talking most of the time is enrollment and our institutions and the challenges we're facing. And yeah, I think we got to step out of that for a little bit. So, with all the connections I've made, the beautiful, wonderful connections over the last 6 years, I think it's time for me to, start bringing those stories together, and that's the goal. So, thank you for being part of it.
yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
All right. So, thank you so much, Matt. Today we were joined by Matt Lance, who's the Associate Director of Admissions for Rose Holman Institute of Technology. I hope you all learned a little bit about Matt as the person, and what he gets inspired by and why he's in the role that he's in. We're looking forward to get more guests on our podcast to share their personal experiences and who they are as a person behind this beautiful field of admissions and enrollment and higher education. So stay tuned for more, and thank you for listening and joining our podcast. Stay tuned for more, and thank you for listening and joining our podcast.